I have been gifted in discerning of spirits. So demons, evil spirits. I'm sorry, I've got some beautiful slides and a video of various demons. I think it will be rather funny for the young people to see it here. So I think there's no time for me to sort of give you that demonstration. But maybe in the future sometime when Pastor again gets a calling from God to let me stand here, I can show you that. All right. Many people are delivered from demons and evil spirits. I started spiritual warfare in 1992. God gave me a calling and he says, you're going to fight with me, for me. So many strange demons. You know, I've seen a woman grow from 5 feet to 9 feet. Just lying down on the floor. She's just growing. I don't think so any of you have experienced that. I think you'll run out of the hall. All right? We've been visited by the goddess Kali. Kali is worshipped in Bengal. She's the goddess of death. And 200,000 people bow down to her every day. And there was a Hindu lady who came to us. We prayed for her. And Kali suddenly appeared. She said, do you know who I am? He said, no, we don't know who you are. So she said, I'm Kali. So I said, so? She said, do you know 200,000 bow down to me? I said, yeah, I know. She said, you know, I can turn you into ash just now. I said, that I know. Because in the book of Ephesians, it tells us, we wrestle against principalities and powers. Okay, this is a power. Kali is a power. It's a stronghold in Bengal. Okay? And she says, you know why you are saved? So why? He says, because Jesus' hand is on you. I said, thank God, hallelujah. At least his hand is on me. Wow, this is something fantastic. You know, and she says, if the day he moves his hand from you, God help you. I don't think God is going to help you anyhow. I'll turn you into ash. So these are the people we are encountering in that place. Demons galore and occult demons. Not ordinary guys, guys who have power. Principalities and power, right? Of course, we pray for people with cancer. I don't believe cancer is a disease. I believe it's a demon. Now, this is a strange thing. Knock the demon out, cancer goes. I knock the demon out of my system, leukemia went. There was a lady who was in the last stages of cancer, spinal cancer. The doctors told her, we're going to discharge you because you've got about a week to go. Please go and spend this time with your children before you pass on. And she came to know about us praying for people and how they were delivered. She got hold of my phone number from somewhere and she phoned me up and she said, would you come and pray for me? So I said, of course. And I went off to the hospital, found the ward and the bed, and I sat next to her. And I could see all gods next to her head, from Sai Baba to Shiv and Kali and all sorts of them were sitting there. And I said, Lord, could I pray in front of these guys? So he said, yeah, you're going to pray in front of these guys. Remember, I'm higher than these guys. I said, yeah, I forgot. Sorry. And I told her, should I pray for you now? So she said, yeah, but the nurse is coming in to give me an injection. And that injection was very painful. So she said, you know, I hope you don't mind me crying in front of you because when she administers this injection, I start crying. So I asked the husband, I said, can I hold her hand? Because in India, you can't hold a married woman's hand. You know, they think differently. So I held her hand and I went in tongues. And I said, now you give the injection. She said, I didn't feel the pain. Power of the Spirit. Okay? And I said, now I'm going to pray for you. And when I prayed for her, the Spirit told me, tell her she's not going to die. So I told her, I said, see, the Spirit told me you're not going to die. These guys have written you off. I don't know why. But the Spirit tells me you're not going to die. Now I don't know how it's going to happen. That's all between you and Jesus Christ. And you know, she went home, and I got a phone call after 10 days that my wife is recovering, and she started eating. Wow, I thought that was fantastic. So this is how Jesus is moving in that area. There are many things I've got, but I think I'm going to just leave you now. But we do need support. We do need money, although we don't count money as a major factor in the gospel. You remember 12 people turned the world upside down without money, without microphones, without air conditioners, without TV, media, everything put together. 12 guys. We've got thousands working and we can't do it. Something wrong somewhere. I don't know what it is. I have to wait upon the Lord. So thank you so much for having me this morning here. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you go back and you meet someone in your office or in the car or at a station when you're waiting for conveyance or in your home or at a party or at a restaurant and just share Jesus with them. Hallelujah. Thank you so much.
All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit here. Fred really felt impressed, and so we're going to do this. And so if you need healing this morning, if you have somebody that you know of in your family or a friend, I want to invite you to come to the front now. Okay? Come on. Richard, maybe you can give us a little. I don't know if we need music or not, but, you know, it's a contemporary crowd. Come on, all right? The Spirit is here. And I'm going to ask Mr. Daniels to pray, and we'll take a little bit of time, okay? Just come on. If you feel dry, need to be filled with the Spirit,
yeah.
Just come on, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
We're gonna do it. Come on now. Yeah. Kind of filter out a little bit if you can. Make sure we get everybody up close. If y'all are standing here, just kind of slide around a little bit where y'all can see. Is everybody in close? Okay, good. All right, Mr. Daniels, come on and just minister to us, okay?
Thank you. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this day in our lives. We thank you that you're an awesome God. You're a God of deliverance. And Master, when we come into your presence, there's nothing that you can't do. Because you have the power and the majesty, and we give you glory this morning, Jesus. Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters here that have come to you, Lord. They wait upon you to see your glory, your deliverance in their life. Father, in your authority, I take at this time, powers of the evil one in anyone's life that is standing here, I bind them because your word says what you bind on earth, I bind in heaven. Yes. And Father, I take that authority in your name, Jesus, this morning to bind spirits that are working in people here, yes, even in the United States, Lord, yes, where this country is for you, was built on the principles of your word. Father, I come against it. And I root it out of these people right now. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the living Savior. I come against all infirmities, the spirit of disease. If people have pain in their shoulders, their back, pain in the knee, pain in the neck, Father, I rebuke it in your name right now. Thank you, Jesus, for elevating us so that we can sit in heavenly places today, Lord. It is because of you that we are there, Lord. We thank you for the power of the Spirit in our lives, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus. And I root out each disease, each pain in your name this morning. May this pain be gone in the name of Jesus right now. Father, I come against strongholds right now. stronghold of unbelief, doubt, I come against it in your name, Jesus. Thank you so much for the power of the Spirit in our lives, that we can root this out in your name, Lord. Because you don't want your people to stay the way they are staying. You want them to be delivered, Lord. Set them free, Jesus. Set them free. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Rabashi Karabashanta Kubasha Karaba. E Rabashi Nakatato Rabashi Narara. Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father. I come against spirits that are causing problems in families. Spirits that are attacking our children at this time. You have no authority in our families. I build a hedge around these families right now in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I apply the blood of Jesus right now. Thank you, Father, that our children, husbands and wives, will come together in your name in peace and unity. I pray for unity in their lives, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
We have been in Acts chapter 1 for the last, two or three weeks. We have been talking about upward vision and earthly prayer. And I want to thank Mr. Daniels for coming this morning and really for setting the tone. And I just want to take a few minutes because I believe that what Acts chapter 1 talks about, Mr. Daniels is really a testimony to us, not only of God's faithfulness to India and in the places that he has spoken to us about this morning, but to realize that what we read about in this chapter and what Jesus was doing prepared the way for what's happening in India and happening here and in our nation and around the world. So I want to ask you just to read verse 9 with me, verses 9 through 11, Acts chapter 1, where we have been the last couple of weeks. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." You know, that had to be a tremendous thing. It's hard for us, I know, to think about what that must have been like, to be able to be an eyewitness to Jesus going up into the clouds and returning to be with his Father. Now, I realize that, we've heard this story and we've read it. But if you look at verse 9, again, it says, before their very eyes. In other words, this was an actual event that was taking place, that Jesus was being taken up into the clouds to go to be with his Father. And I realize that the ascension sometimes is not something that we preach a lot on or that we talk about a lot. But I want you to know that what we heard this morning and the things that we know to be true and the things that we have seen God do in our own life happened because Jesus Christ went back to be with his Father. Now, let me just point out a couple of things about the ascension that I think are really important. It marks the beginning of his dominion over heaven and earth. What that means is that he is in control. That means that he has spiritual authority in heaven and on earth. It means that he prays for us. As you came to the front today, he is praying for all of you. He is praying for Mr. Daniels. He is praying for Fred. He is praying for me. He is praying for all of us. He is praying on our behalf. He protects us from spiritual forces that want to do evil to us. We heard that this morning, didn't we? Why does that resonate so much with Mr. Daniels? Because he knows that is true. He has seen that. We know that that is true. And why is it true? Because Jesus Christ has gone back to be with his Father. Now, here's a great thing. One day, every force that opposes God and the building of the kingdom is going to be defeated. It's going to be conquered. That's where our hope is. That's where our hope is. That's why we don't have to live in fear, because he is conquering those spiritual enemies that stir up, that want to do us harm. It's just like what Mr. Daniel said about, you know, Satan coming to him and smiling while he's in the hospital room. What did he say to him? Get out of here. Get out of here. Why does he say that with power and authority? It's because of what Jesus Christ has done. But there's more and that he talked about this morning, and that is because when Jesus Christ went back to be with the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to come to be with us, to empower us, to stand, to see healing, to see people get saved, to see people delivered. That is what he did. And that was the promise that he said, if I go back to be with my Father, I will send the Holy Spirit to be with you. It's a living testimony to God's faithfulness, not only that we're seeing it here in our own lives, but we hear it going on in India from a man that we've only known for a few weeks. That is the power of God. That is God's greatness. Acts 2:32. Let me just read this, okay? Verses 32 through 33. It says, God, this is Peter, it says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received the promise of the Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. And he's talking about Acts chapter 2, where people came from a lot of different areas and regions. And so what they heard was, they heard the people of God, those 120 people that were waiting for the power of the Spirit to come. They heard them declaring in tongues, in their language, the wonders of God, how amazing God was. And it says in the scripture that 3,000 people were added because of the power of the Holy Spirit coming on them. They're declaring how good God is, and the people are hearing it in their own language. Now, what that says to us is that no matter what circumstances look like and no matter what we think, that we are boldly to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he has dominion over heaven and earth, and that he's building the kingdom. And the kingdom is built how? It's built at one person at a time. As you share your faith and the Spirit of God comes in through becoming a believer, then that person is brought into the kingdom of God. They're transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Somebody's being engaged, aren't they, right now? The vision for God's kingdom is so important because it changes how we view life. You're here today and you serve and you do things. You share your faith. You pray for people. All the things that you do that because you have a vision for God's kingdom that's built one person at a time. When you're out there on these 90-degree days and you've been working with high-powered soccer, you're sowing into the kingdom being built. You know, we're starting another marriage class, you know, Terry and Darlene are. What are they doing? They're helping to build the kingdom. They're helping to build marriages up. I think about Rachel. She came down here and she did all those things with Aunt May and all that. Well, she's sharing the gospel with the kids. She's sowing in. She's building up the kingdom of God. And whether we realize it or not, we're doing that because we have been given a vision for the kingdom. And our focus on that is so important. Living with a vision for God's kingdom will change how you live. Now let's look real quickly at verse 11 and we'll close out in just a moment. Verse 11, Acts chapter 1. He says, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. What that is saying to us is that we live with an accountability. That Jesus Christ is going to return. Last week I read the scripture to you that says that all the gospel would be preached throughout the nations, throughout the world, and then the end will come. What that is saying to us is that all of us should be motivated by the fact that Christ is going to return. He's going to come back for us in the same way that he went up. I don't know about you, but there is a motivation in my heart and in my life that I realize that as I look at Kata and I think about my family, I have a responsibility. I'm going to be asked about that. from the standpoint of being the kind of husband and being the kind of father that I need to be, being the kind of pastor that God expects for me to be, that I've been called. There is something that ought to be burning inside of our hearts that says Christ, Jesus Christ, the Lord, is coming back, and he's coming back for a church, a bride, that he has prepared, that has been a part of the kingdom. Listen, you know, the church today has been so caught up, I think, in the self-help things, and we struggle so much. You know, we struggle in our marriages, and we struggle in all these different things, that in many times I think we have gotten so focused on ourselves that the power of God is just, you know, it's like we're anemic almost. It's like there's no power in us because we've so focused on ourselves. But we have to understand something, that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, we gave up our right to our plans and our agendas. Our plan and our agenda is that we are called to be a part of God's plan. That's where your destiny is. That's where you find purpose. That's where God empowers us to live in a way, not to live some selfish life, self-centered life. The very thing that Christ did was to break that power in us. In closing this morning, there are two reasons that we do not consistently engage ourselves in extending God's kingdom. One is because we don't understand God's kingdom. We think the kingdom is about us. We're a part of the kingdom, but the kingdom is much greater. The kingdom is greater than just your children. Sometimes you think, well, you know, I need to work with my kids. But you know what? What God has called us to do is beyond our families. Amen. That's what happened with the disciples. I mean, they thought they were still, you know, a few verses earlier that we read about how they were talking about a political kingdom, a nation. And Jesus was even at that point having to correct their thinking about the kingdom. But the kingdom of God is the one that God's building. It's the one that's born out of his word and out of his plan. That's what we've been called to be included in. And the other reason is that we're not willing to engage in the mission. That we're not willing to engage in the mission, his mission. This morning, you know, I mean, to hear what's going on in India, we have been privileged to hear of many missionaries and ministers around the world, and it's exciting because it seems like, you know, if you talk to people that travel or they live in other countries, there is a move of the Spirit that is happening outside this country that I'm jealous for. But God has put us here, I know that, and there's work to do. And just as Mr. Daniel said, it's not an optional thing. It's a duty that we are all called to. Sharing your faith, living your life, building relationships, praying for people. It's as we live life, as we go, that we are to make disciples. And as we make disciples, those disciples are to go out and make other disciples. That we are reproducing. That's how the kingdom is built. And for Americans, that's hard. Because we don't have a king. We criticize our presidents, you know. And so when we talk about the kingdom, we're like, what are you talking about, a kingdom? You know. But the Jesus Christ that we know and that we believe in, he is a king, he is a Lord. He is building his kingdom with his Father, and he is going to return one day for those who will be found faithful, personally committed to him, and to building the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your mission. We thank you, Lord, for your purpose. We thank you for your plans. We pray that you would empower us, God, Lord, to be a part of what you're doing in this world. God, we pray that you would help us, Lord, that our eyes would see and our ears would hear, Lord, what you're doing. We thank you. We thank you for your ministry to us this morning through Mr. Daniels. Lord, we thank you for healing and deliverance. Lord, we thank you for all the things, Lord, that you have done. We pray that you would help us as we go from this time, God. We bless you and honor you in Jesus' name.